Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. Today's episode of Locked On Pistons is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets. The promo code LOPISTONS. That's L-O as in Locked On Pistons. L-O Pistons gets you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. The Pistons visit the Knicks tonight. Detroit is desperately trying to right the ship on the road. The Pistons are undefeated at home, only one win on the road. The Knicks are definitely a team primed to be beaten. The problem on Detroit's end, potentially at least, is that Andre Drummond is a game-time decision. Not certain to play, still dealing with a sprained ankle. He said he went through shoot-around, felt a little better than he did yesterday, is on the right track, but is not there necessarily yet. That could dampen the Pistons' chances. The Pistons beat New York at home, look good doing it, and that game was a step in unraveling the Knicks. A lot of disarray surrounding the Knicks right now. They're awful defensively. They've put Kurt Rambis in charge of the defense. Seems like kind of, I wouldn't say an overreaction, but a strange reaction. They need to do something about defense. I'm just not sure Kurt Rambis is the answer. He's always seemed to be offensive minded. I'm not sure how much respect he has in the locker room after being the interim coach last year. It really seemed like Carmelo Anthony didn't want him to get the head coaching job, but he's friends with Phil Jackson. The same Phil Jackson who just did an interview where he referred to LeBron's friends and business associates as LeBron's posse. LeBron took offense to that. Carmelo Anthony is very close friends with LeBron. Carmelo said he wouldn't appreciate the people around him being described that way. Wasn't sure exactly what Jackson meant by it. There's a lot just swirling around the Knicks as usual, and none of it is productive. All of it is potentially distracting and disheartening, and it makes it hard to get up for a game. I mean, these guys are professionals. I think they're going to play hard. I think they're going to try their hardest, but it does make it just a little bit harder to be focused and motivated and fully on track when there's so many other things going on and just trying to take away from what's going on the court. And on the court, yeah, there are problems. There's a reason they're turning to somebody for their defense. There are questions about the triangle offense internally and externally about whether that's working. There's just no way, easy way around it. Regardless of whether Andre Drummond's playing or not, I think the position to watch for the Knicks is center. They've been pretty good when they've used Kristaps Porzingis at center, which is a surprise to nobody who has been paying attention. It might be a surprise in New York, though, because they just signed Joakim Noah to a huge four-year contract, and he's already looking over the hill. I don't think he's going to get back on track right away. He'll have spurts. I don't think he's done. I don't think his career is over. He'll have spurts of being worth the money. You just hope it doesn't come against you, and they're going to be fewer and further between. I'm not too worried about Noah. If Noah's at center, you got to feel good about the Pistons' chances, regardless of whether Andre Drummond is playing. If Porzingis is playing a lot of center, then you don't feel as confident. That might be the difference of if Drummond plays or not, so we'll see. And while you're watching this Pistons game, you can also watch tonight, if the timing works out, and hopefully it does, where you can get some of both. Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue, who Nate hosts the Dunked On basketball podcast. Danny's off and on with him. Danny also hosts Locked On Warriors. They're going to do halftime shows, live streaming on Twitter, of Warriors, Raptors, and Clippers, Grizzlies. And it's going to be fun. Those two definitely know their basketball. It's going to be a smarter level of analysis than you can get in the typical studio show. If you just want the maybe bigger names on the typical show, okay, I guess. I mean, that's what interests you, that's fine. But there's another option. If you're looking for smarter analysis, if you're looking for a little bit more nuance, that's what Nate and Danny are going to have. Hopefully this will, you know, be something that really takes hold. We'll get some for Pistons games also. But right now, tonight, it's going to be for Warriors Raptors and Clippers Grizzlies. They're going to tweet out a link to follow the live stream as it happens. Make sure you're following them on Twitter. Nate's at Nate Duncan NBA, and Danny is at Danny LaRue. That's LeRoux. Nate Duncan NBA and Danny LaRue, follow them. And you can be in tune for this live analysis and in-depth analysis. And I also want to play a recent segment, speaking of those two, from the Dunked On podcast, where they reviewed the Pistons season so far, how things are going. But first, I want to talk to you about SeatGeek. The NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it has never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether it's courtside, the club seats, or the upper level. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest price available. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is graded based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate on their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings and promo code, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter the code locked on LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on Pistons. LO Pistons. SeatGeek will send you $20 if you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LO Pistons. That's LO as in locked on LO Pistons. And so this is the clip I want to play for you from the recent Dunked On episode where Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue talk about the Pistons.
5-5 for the Pistons. They had a nice start, went on a Western trip against some pretty mediocre teams, but then had a nice win against Denver on Saturday night. The big issue for them so far is the offense. They are number 3 in opponent e-field goal percentage after being 16th last year. And that's actually pretty impressive. I think Andre Drummond has come around a little bit defensively. Could still just be, you know, the fact that we've only gone through 1/8 of the season so far. But when you consider Morris, Harris, Ish Smith, not a great defensive player. Baines is not really that good. John Luer is in the rotation. Stanley Johnson is a second year guy. Beno Udrich is their backup point guard. Other than Drummond and KCP, really not any other good defenders on this roster. So to be as good as they are, both in e-field goal percentage and just sixth in general on defense, that's encouraging for this team. And the problem, though, is just on offense.
Well, yeah, and you could look at the offense in a lot of different ways, but the one that I keyed in on while you're dealing, again, small sample size theater, they have the league's worst net rating in clutch situations. They're getting outscored by 46.1 points per 100 possessions. And the reason...
Do you remember how many minutes was that? Do you remember?
I think it's around like 18 or so. But the thing is, they have a 56.6 offensive rating. And the thing that struck me, I was watching I can't remember which one of their close games it was. It reminded me so much of the Jazz when they were flailing last year without a point guard. And then the Sixers basically all of last year, incidentally, except for the time that they had Ish Smith, where they just couldn't really figure things out. And that's why getting Reggie Jackson back will fix a lot of that. It kind of gets them back to an equilibrium, especially in terms of their pick and roll offense. So it's not a long-term concern in that way, but you do want it. It's part of the reason why I'm somebody who pushes for as many capable ball handlers as you can fit on your roster.
Ish Smith, yeah, they're 5-5. He's the starting point guard. He's also shooting 10% from three, 23% on long twos, 34% overall, 38% true shooting, and still a pretty high usage, 21%. So that's bad in the sense that, hey, maybe this guy hasn't fixed their backup point guard problems. And you mentioned the difficulty defensively and or offensively late in games. And when you really lock in on Smith, you can go under on him quite a bit, force him to shoot the jump shot. But yeah, once Reggie Jackson gets back, maybe this offense gets to be better. Encouraging, at least, that Tobias Harris and KCP both shooting pretty well on threes. Harris in particular looks very, very comfortable from three early in the season. And then also, I think if they get Reggie back, they won't have to go to these Drummond post-ups that we're now on year three under Stan Van Gundy, where they're still going to these and, you know, they don't work.
They don't. And I think he's gotten a little bit better, but that's kind of the low bar issue. And, Drummond has a lot of gifts. I think he's gotten better defensively. He's the league's best offensive rebounder, in my opinion. But he's still not great in terms of touch and finishing around the basket. So there are a couple different ways you can handle that. You can kind of do the Tristan Thompson, grab the rebound, pass it out type of thing. Or, you know, just try it. Because the other problem with him is you don't want him to get fouled. So that's one of the ways that you can mitigate a guy who doesn't have great touch around the basket. One, they could try to dunk everything, and two, they can try to get fouled, but he's a bad free throw shooter, so you can't really do that either.
Yeah, for Drummond, he's already 54 post-up possessions that he's finished in 10 games, so basically five possessions a game they're using on that, and he's in the 21st percentile overall in the league. He also is really bad at converting his offensive rebounds, as you mentioned, and I think a lot of that is just because they're kind of wild tips off the backboard that are being counted as shots. And you might say, all right, well, maybe the reason he's so inefficient on those plays is because he's getting fouled, but he's really not getting fouled that much, only like 10% of the time on either of those plays. I think that's because opponents are like, well, you know, he's not that efficient anyway, why pick up a foul? One other interesting thing on this team, even with Drummond, who has been fantastic on the glass, they're only 18th in offensive rebounding percentage and 15th in defensive rebounding percentage. And that's because they're playing, you know, really two combo forwards. And so they're relying on Drummond to essentially get every rebound. And I don't think that's the end of the world. You'd like to that a team to have that has the league's best rebounder to be better overall at rebounding. But the other approach you can take is, well, maybe because this guy is so good at rebounding, now we can use other guys, more combo forwards, guys who aren't as good at rebounding, go with a scheme that's going to pressure up more on the perimeter, get out in transition more, leak guys out. And so you just use how good he is to just be adequate and try to then take advantage in other areas.
I want to expand on that last point. That's excellent analysis from them. The last point, though, that the Pistons rely so much on Drummond to get rebounds, that they, because they're playing two combo forwards, yeah, that's what they're doing. I think it makes a lot of sense. Defensive rebounds especially, that's a play where there are diminishing returns. When you watch a game, think about this. How often, if the player who grabs the defensive rebound doesn't get it, who would get it? It's usually somebody on the same team. Think about, like, take it another level. Like, if that person didn't get it, who would get it after that? Sometimes it's still somebody on the team that was defending. So they're diminishing returns. It helps to have Drummond. You can put a lot of the rebounding on his plate. The Pistons are asking a lot of him, and they've slipped in rebounding a little bit. And there are some things going on there. And maybe they can rebound better. I expect their rebounding to improve. But I do think logically it makes sense to just really rely on Drummond. Where I don't think they're getting all the advantages are the two areas Nate brought up. They're not forcing a ton of turnovers. They're not really using their increased speed and agility to pressure the ball. And they're also not great in transition. They're improved in transition. They were in the 20s in fast break points per game last year. They're up a little above average this year. But they're not really a big transition threat, and I think that's only going to decrease even more once Reggie Jackson comes back. Ish Smith's so quick, I think there's definitely more opportunities in transition with him. I think that's an area the Pistons can take better advantage of, but they are getting some upside by their lineup decisions. They have more offensive skill with Tobias Harris and Marcus Morris than if they had a more of a traditional power forward on the court. And they take advantage of that in the half court. It's just increased skill. But yeah, there's definitely room to get out on the break more, I think. And there's room to force more turnovers and swarm a little bit and take some more chances. Stan Van Gundy's defenses tend to be conservative. But if you're going to put this type of lineup out there, yeah, if you're just conservative, you're going to get beat by some some stronger power forwards, whether you have Marcus Morris or Tobias Harris on them. And sometimes it makes more sense when John Luehr comes in. So we're just talking about the starting lineup here. I do think there's more room to take advantage in those ways because you are getting that drawback of having less rebounding from your power forward position. So we'll keep an eye on that going forward. Make sure you check out Danny and Nate's live shows tonight. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.